Now we discuss chapter 5, formal communication. When we talk of formal communication, what are the characteristics? We discuss the structure, the style. Then we focus on the kind of words which are used as far as formal communication is concerned. The directions, that means hierarchical. Does it go in horizontal communication? That means, are you communicating? Is there communication between two people of equal status or rank? Is it from superior to subordinate? Unique applications, advantages, disadvantages. And we talk of, various aspects to formal and informal communication, but more of it will be formal communication. The difference between formal and informal communication is ideally, communication is not the same as the difference between common and uncommon. See, when we use the word common, it means we say, okay, this is so common. People do this, you know. Today you have a lot of people who are probably contributing to society in some of the social work. You'll say it's quite common. Where someone else will say, no, it's pretty much uncommon. I've not heard of many people doing it. So what are they trying to say? There is a similarity as well as a difference when you say common, uncommon. But when you talk of formal, informal, formal communication is more structured, more hierarchical, more rigid. It can also be bureaucratic to an extent. Whereas compared to informal communication, which is ideally, you probably can say more casual, not going in a systematic order or manner. We use different registers for writing an assignment, for writing to a friend, for writing to a prospective employer, for conversation with a friend, and for making presentations. Writing is usually more formal than speaking. So we need to understand how effective it is in terms of communication when we talk of formal and informal communication. When we talk, ideally speaking to a prospective employer, that will be formal as compared to a conversation with a friend. So when you talk of informal, it is more casual. The messages which are circulating on regulated preset channels of an organization create the formal communication. The content of communication is related to the organization's activity and to their work. The formal communication consists of verbal messages written under the shape of letters, telephone messages, radio messages, printed internal notes. Today we even have fax documents which can be faxed, right? We send a document via courier, various ways to let the formal message reach across. The messages are transmitted by authorized personnel on official channels. These arrive to the ones who need to react to people or machines which need to know the content of these messages. So ideally, whom are these messages put across to? What is the purpose of putting across these messages to the others? Some of the common functions of formal communication is to obtain or provide information, to ask or deliver information, to ask for and supply instructions, advice, suggestions, to make requests, to persuade others to agree with you. Teachers, training managers communicate formally with an objective of education and training, of education or educating and training. Now, when we talk of functions of formal communication, yes, when you either giving or wanting to get information, there is a purpose. There is a reason for it. So when we talk of instructions, advice, suggestions, all this comes under the category of formal communication. Formal communication messages are considered as true and authentic versions of official policies by recipients. Usually, all formal communication is recorded and kept in organizations' offices as evidence. For example, an email, it serves as a proof. A document which is fact serves as a proof. Whereas if it's face-to-face, there's no question of any proof, right? Unless it's recorded. Examples of formal communication are available in work commands. Report. A report is a logical presentation of data, facts, details prepared by a subordinate, submitted to a person at top management. So for example, Your director tells you, prepare a report for the decline in sales of goods. How come there's a decline in sales of goods? So you ideally prepare a report for it. Okay? So oversells, inventory statements, referring to companies, policies, post descriptions, all this comes under formal communication. So when we talk of inventory, it's more like a checklist. It's more like keeping, you know, aspects in terms of accounts in order. And post descriptions, well, probably if you talk of, say, any product, what is it in terms of the product which you purchased? Is it ideally appropriate in terms of what you expected? So post description could be linked to a lot of aspects when you talk of formal communication. The speed of formal communication is slow as it flows through predetermined channels. The formal communication network is formed out of formal channels created by setting a formal system of responsibilities according to the hierarchical structure of the organization. The perfect network is the one which contains communication channel from bottom up, downwards, horizontal. So you talk of upward, downward, and horizontal communication. When you talk of formal communication, there is a purpose, there is an agenda. So intentional message, intentional setting. When I say intentional setting, the fixed number of participants. If there's going to be a conference, if there's going to be a meeting to discuss the launching of a new product. So we know exactly who's going to be there, how many people in number, what is the discussion about, what are we planning there as far as that meeting is concerned. Whereas an informal, random message, random setting. You could be two friends meeting up instead of two, four friends meet up. So no preset agenda for informal communication. Whereas for formal communication, set agenda, you can say fixed number of participants. There is an aim or an objective. When you talk of style, the speech, probably if it's a speech, probably it's about a publication or an email blast. Here, a conversation, personal note, overheard comment. So when we talk ideally of formal communication, if it is a speech, then it could be one-way communication. If it is email blast, we're probably sending out mailers to one and all regarding, say, a new expertise coming aboard a company. So ideally, the purpose and the reason differs. Here, it could be a general conversation. Here, ideally, it could be in terms of, you know, me just writing an email where I'm sharing something confidential with you as a friend in terms of informal communication. So that's where there's a difference. What are the features of formal communication? Formal communication follows certain conventions related to language, style, timing. If you send an email today, it is expected that the person responds within 24 hours, next 24 hours. Not necessary for informal communication. Formal communication is needed in organizations since it is official, binding, and more likely to be obeyed. It is mostly written and hence it is precise and less likely to be misunderstood. It can be preserved and traced at any time. You can copy it for more than one use. It saves time and effort that would be spent in informal talks and discussions. When I say you can copy it, if I want to send that same email to 10 people, I at times should realize I cannot CC, that means forward. So I need to see to it that I copy, paste, but send it to another person. I do not send it as a CC or BC. That means circulated copy or blind copy. Face-to-face contact, especially when the subject matter of communication is sensitive, painful, it is avoided by communicating formally through a written document. If it is sensitive or even if it is confidential, we suggest it is better if it is face-to-face than written communication. Face-to-face communication has a personal touch. Face-to-face communication makes you realize that the person is physically present. However, formal communication often gets rigid, uses bureaucratic language, and sounds cold. This channel is not established automatically, but effort has to be made for its creation. Correct? So, when we talk of formal communication, a lot of effort is put in with ideally how it should move ahead. So when we talk of features of formal communication, now what is it that makes communication formal? What are the various features? Why is it that it is considered to be formal communication? Language. Rules for language to be used in formal writing are quite strict, often unstated. See, the moment I know I'm writing to my colleague, I'm writing to my subordinate or the superior, my way of writing will differ. It has to differ. If I'm going to write in the same manner as I would write to a friend, then there's no logic, because formal and informal communication, the words have to differ. Now, when I say words, we're not saying use words which are, you know, absolutely difficult to understand or which may make a lot of difference to the person reading it, but ideally putting it in a you attitude and ideally writing in a slightly rigid manner, because formal communication is partially rigid. When I say rigid, very much to the point, very much logical or coherent. That means information going in an appropriate manner. That's what needs to be done. Formal writing is used in business, academic and scientific settings. Whenever you want to convey your ideas to a wide audience with many possible backgrounds and assumptions. Unlike casual conversation or emails to friends, formal writing needs to be clear, unambiguous, that means no confusion, literal and well-structured, very much to the point. There's no way that a person can digress when you talk of formal communication. Formal writing is not just dictated conversation. It is inappropriate simply to write as you would speak. Yes, of course, it is said that if you speak appropriately, you will be having the skill to write appropriately too. But literally what is spoken cannot really be written. Formal writing must instead stand on its own. That means even if you read it once, you understand it, easy to understand. Conveying the author's message clearly through words alone. The words and the tone of words convey everything. Language. Write what you mean and mean what you write. Very important. What are you wanting to say when you're saying it? Is it put forward in a manner whereby it is appropriate for the person to understand? Speakers use many informal colloquial phrases in casual conversation. See, even today we use jargons, right, while talking. Jargons is a group of words or phrase used by people in a group or used by people who work together and can relate to each other. So we need to understand it is extremely important that when you talk of formal communication, that cannot be possible. In casual conversation, usually intending to convey meaning other than what the words literally indicate. For instance, we often speak informally of going the extra mile at the end of the day, hard facts, things being crystal clear or pretty convincing, someone sticking to a topic, readers being turned off, something really being the case, right? So, see, when I say going that extra mile, that means I'm putting in more effort. Or when I say that being turned off means I'm put off. But we need to understand that these words are actually not considered to be formal. These words are more casual. So we need to understand that we have to put these words forward effectively. Now, in an organization, I cannot say I was turned off or put off, right? If my colleague is not cooperating with me or if my subordinate is not really cooperating, I cannot say I'm put off. I have to word it better by saying that he or she is not cooperating with me as far as deadlines are concerned. So I have to bring a shift in my words. Avoid such imprecise writing in formal prose. Whenever possible, the words you write should literally mean exactly what they say. If there are no miles involved, do not write of extra ones. If there was no crystal, do not write about its clarity. Crystal clear means being to the point. Clarity. The word clarity. When I say clarity, I'm saying it in a very clear manner, to the point, and in a manner where you understand easily. Instead, replace comma with a semicolon. In case you have two sentences that need to be linked in some generic way, make the linkage explicit with a conjunction. For example, and. You can join the two sentences using and. Sometimes use a semicolon instead of a comma. But look, when we talk of semicolon, we need to know that when can a comma and when can a semicolon be applied. Semicolon is actually used when there's an extension of the same sentence. Simply use a period to leave two sentences complete and independent. Full stops, right? Most messages are short compositions and you must make the most effective use of every sentence and every word. Careful planning can help you write a good message. Yes, how you plan, how effectively you are with your planning in terms of wanting to convey information, focusing on the reader's thought process rather than your thought process when you're framing it. Those aspects need to be looked into. Style. Informal writing style is colloquial, simple, with short sentences and employs contractions and abbreviations. Now, I guess abbreviations, short forms, right? So if it's informal and casual communication, then the way of communication differs. It is often meant to express empathy and emotion. When I talk of informal writing style, it is said that chances of expressing your emotions are higher when it is informal communication. Whereas when it's formal communication, your chances of expressing emotions may not be that much. You need to be as thorough as possible with your approach to each topic when you're using a formal style. Each main point needs to be introduced, elaborated, concluded, right? I have to have that link that this is the introduction, this is a body, this is a conclusion. There is a link, of course, between the three. How effectively am I explaining one linked with the other? What is the purpose of me writing these points because they serve a purpose to you? All those aspects need to be looked into. It has to be objective. State the main points confidently and offer full support arguments. I just told you the link between introduction, body, conclusion, right? So all are interlinked. A formal writing style shows a limited range of emotions and avoids emotive punctuation such as exclamation points, ellipses, etc. unless they're being cited from another source. So ideally, limited range of emotions. We need to be very, much aware that your emotions cannot be displayed. You've got to understand, you've got to keep your emotions away. Style. Writing for professional purposes is likely to require the formal style. Although individual communication can use the informal style, in exceptional cases, once you're familiar with the recipient, that means the way you write. Individual communication can use the informal style in exceptional cases. See, we give that 5% benefit that you're writing informal communication when you're actually conveying through formal channel of communication. Means you're writing to, say, your person who's a superior, someone at top management. So you've got to be formal. But few words, few sentences can make the person also feel that it's just like 5%, you know, because you need to understand that when you're communicating to someone, especially at your workplace, the way of writing has to be formal. Note that emails tend to lend themselves to a less formal style than paper-based communications, but you should still avoid the use of text talk. When you talk of paper-based communication, you know, see, for example, if you're filling in a form, if you're probably filling in the details for a particular task, then it is more formal than maybe an email too. But ideally, it is said that when even you're talking of communication via email, it has to be formal communication. If in doubt as to how formal your writing should be, it is better to err on the side of caution and be formal rather than informal. You should understand that if I have a choice between formal and informal communication, it is better I'm writing formal communication. It is better that I am cautious and I do not make a mistake there. Structure. An organization's structure influences the communication patterns within the organization. Structure. We're talking of level A to level B to level C to level D. Level A being the concerned person, say your CFO of an organization. So, structured. The structure of an organization should provide for communication in three distinct directions: upward, downward, horizontal. These three directions establish the framework within which communication in an organization takes place. Examining each one, which we plan to accomplish in 5.03 direction of communication, will enable us to better appreciate the barriers to effective organizational communication and the means to overcome these barriers. So we need to understand that when we're discussing upward, downward, horizontal communication, how and what are the barriers to it too. Now when we talk of structure of communication, we talk of four kinds of network. Let us discuss each one. First, take the wheel network. There is a larger formal network called organizational communication network, which represents communication within the hierarchical structure. So let's discuss each one of them. That what do we mean by wheel? What do we mean by circle? What do we mean by all mediated network, right? Let us discuss each one of them. The wheel. If you're in a wheel network, information flows from one central member of your group, say your function head, to the rest of the members. Take this to be the wheel, the center of the wheel, and the spokes. So from one member, as the word suggests, to the others. Other group members may not have to communicate with each other to perform well. Now, what is most important in wheel network? That if this is a center of the wheel, that person is communicating. Others may not communicate with each other, but they all are in touch with the person in the center. So ideally, other group members may not have to communicate with each other to perform well. An example would be a group of independent sales girls who report to one floor manager in a departmental store. So they all are sales girls, but each one of them may or may not communicate with each other, but they definitely communicate with the floor manager. The independent sales girls do not need to interact with one another in order to perform. Wheel networks do not exist in teams. There is no chance of a team, because the very fact if one girl is not communicating with the other in terms of what they've done for sales, where is the question of a team? In a team, people interact, they bond, there's cohesion. Whereas here, the girls don't necessarily interact. So that's what it is with wheel network. Since teams signify intense interaction between all members of the group. So what are they saying? Wheel network does not exist in teams. Why? Because teams, there is high level of interaction. Teamwork is what, where everyone contributes, puts in effort, sits, discusses, communicates, comes up with views and suggestions to have a better outcome, which is not necessary when we are talking of wheel network. Chain network. Now the chain goes like this. So what are we understanding from the chain network? If you're part of a chain network, members communicate with each other in a pre-planned sequence. So ideally, A discusses with B that why is there a sudden decrease in the sales. So A puts it forward to B. B then ideally puts pressure on C to ask him what is happening with the marketing team. Why is it that suddenly there's a problem? Then C finally discusses with D, and D says that probably the competitors are giving better deals and offers, so their products in return are suffering. So ideally, an example of chain network is an assembly line group. In an assembly line, employees communicate with those whose work precedes or follows their own. That's why I said A with B, B with C, C with D. Then D will communicate to C that competitors are giving better deal. C will communicate with B that this is what it is, what can B do? Then B will speak to the director, say that we've got a report prepared for this. These are the facts. We've got to come up with effective ways and means to retain our customers and get new customers too. Like wheel network, chain networks do not exist in teams, as team members are multi-skilled and perform the given task together. See, in a team, people, I just told you, people work together as a team. They perform tasks together, which is not the case in chain network. Circle network. If you are in circle network, members communicate if they share something in common, such as experiences, beliefs, area of expertise, background, or office location. So ideally, in this kind of a situation, for example, the people who you may informally socialize with in your office area may be part of your circle network. Circle networks are not described as teamwork. When you talk of circle network, what is it? What is the focus on? They have something in common. Could be just their beliefs or thought processes, but something in common. Communication among employees working in, say, accounts department would take place in circle network. Why? Because when we talk of circle network, they are working in the accounts department. So, we have four people in the accounts department. So, that is termed as circle network. All channel network. An all channel network is found in teams. Teamwork is characterized with high levels of intense communication. Each team member communicates with every other team member. Information flows in all directions. Computer programs are often utilized to maintain effective communication in teams due to their efficiency. When I say computer programs, now firstly, they're all working in teams. There is more communication via technology. Communication is described as moving upward, downward, or horizontal within the hierarchical communication structure. So when we talk of these kind of situations too, what is the focus on in a team or all channel network? It is where it's in a team. Now, in a team, what are the advantages? Everyone interacts with the other. Everyone cooperates. Everyone works towards a common goal. Everyone wants an outcome. When you talk of a team, every or each team member communicates with the other. That is most important. And when we say information flows in all directions, it can go from A to E, G to B, anybody. So it goes in various directions. This gives people in the team a chance to express their ideas. This also gives the people more confidence since they are given that ability and opportunity to express what they feel. Now, we discuss communication flows in all directions. Each direction has its unique applications and advantages and disadvantages. It moves horizontally, that means upwards, downwards, and 360 degree all around. We will discuss all of these. Okay, like as the arrow shows, upward, going from the lowest step to the highest step. As the arrow shows, upward, going from the lowest step to the highest step. As the arrow shows, downward, going from the highest step to the lowest step. So top management to subordinate. Okay, and then you talk of horizontal communication between people of equal status, production manager, finance manager. Both are managers, communication between people of equal status. Production manager, finance manager, marketing manager. So communication between people of equal status or rank. Upward communication. The behaviorists have emphasized the establishment of upward communication flows. How does it flow? In school organization, this refers to communication that travels from staff to principal, upward. So we have to use a logic. You're climbing up the steps. When you're climbing up the steps, it's simple logic. You're climbing from the lowest step to the highest step. You're going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. In offices, upward communication flows from employees to supervisors and then further to managers, ending up at the level of CEO. So employees, supervisors, managers, CEO. So it's going from one to all. This is necessary not only to determine if staff members have understood information sent downward, but also to meet the ego needs of the staff. Now, we need to understand that when communication goes ideally from lowest to the highest, lot of aspects are looked into. People who are ideally a part of that organization or who are subordinates, they too need to be felt heard. They too need to be felt that, okay, our ideas, views, suggestions are accepted. We had this one person who's working for 10 years and he said, whenever he submitted a report, his ideas were never accepted. So we said, okay, how do you submit a report? Do you go with the confidence? So you would say, sir, this is the report. Now, go with the confidence, sir. This is a report prepared by me and my committee. We've discussed the various points as to what can be done so that the sales can increase as far as, not losing out on the decrease in sales. So what do? We put forward recommendations and points. Our team has put in a lot of effort to understand what we can do, how we can improve the situation. So you're having that confidence and your presentation skills matter the most. How do you present it? Your confidence levels matter the most. So when you talk ideally of upward communication, What does it consist of?